Hi, and welcome to the Kubernetes podcast from Google. I'm Craig Box.
And I'm Adam Glick. Hey, Craig, how was Next last week?
There was a lot. There was a lot going on, and over 20,000 people, I believe, at the event.
Yep.
It felt like every single one came through and played with our GKE Orchestra demo, which was fantastic. I only got a chance to see one session, which was the Spotlight on Cloud Services Platform by Aparna Sinha and Hen Goldberg. But it was fantastic, and I've been watching a number of the videos, and I've got a lot more queued up to watch. How about you?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I enjoyed the Hybrid Orchestra piece as well. It was also nice to run into our podcasting friends from the GCP podcast. And see, they actually had a booth there on the show floor, which was really great for anyone who got a chance to stop by that. Met a whole bunch of folks doing a lot of interesting stuff with Kubernetes, some of which we will have on later on the show, talking about what they're doing with Kubernetes in the community, which is really great. And besides meeting a lot of great people and having a great time, I also kind of enjoyed the concert. So it's always nice to have a little fun at these conferences as well.
Great. Let's get to this week's news.
The big news of the past week was Google's announcement around Kubernetes Engine, especially GKE on-prem and Knative. We won't rehash the coverage that we had, but if you didn't catch last week's interview with Aparna Sinha, we recommend that you check that out. There's also been some interesting analysis from people such as our recent guest, Joe Bita, who looked at Knative in his TGI Kubernetes last Friday, and Paul Zarkowski, who posted how you can use the Knative build system by itself.
By the time you hear this, Istio should be at version 1.0, with our congratulations to everyone in the Istio community. We have a great interview with Dan Cerulli and Jasmine Yakshitz, which you can hear on this podcast next week.
If you're new to Kubernetes and you're a visual thinker, you'll love Kubernetes, the theme park analogy. Dan Librero explains Kubernetes concepts in an accessible way, and there's a link to his post, as well as the aptly named Scott McCloud's excellent Kubernetes comic in the show notes.
If you're interested in extending Kubernetes, you'll know that two common approaches are running your own API server or using custom resource definitions. The KubeVirt project for running virtual machine instances on Kubernetes have considered both and actually settled on a combination of the two. A blog post from Red Hat's David Vossel on the Kubernetes blog this week spells out the pros and cons of both and suggests that there are only a small number of advances needed for CRDs to close the gap.
Another blog post on Kubernetes I/O this week is by Intel and digs into the allocations of Kubernetes workloads to CPUs. CPU Manager, a beta feature introduced in Kubernetes 1.10, can help you assign your pods to the appropriate CPUs in a machine and thus lower execution time.
And that's the news.
Oren Teich is a director of product management for Google Cloud and leads the Knative project. Oren previously was the general manager of Heroku. Welcome, Oren.
Hi. It's so great to be here with both of you.
Can you start off by telling us what Knative is?
Knative is an open source project that provides the building blocks for serverless. It's actually really important to note what it isn't as well. It is not a serverless solution that I expect everyone out there in the world to use. What we realized as we were both talking to customers and partners is that people are super excited about serverless, but they're also afraid of what it means. They don't know how to move forward. They're seeing a huge explosion of different products out there, and they were getting confused. And so what we wanted to do with Knative is offer a set of building blocks that we, as well as other companies, can build off of. It's explicitly not for developers. What I'd hope is, if we get to the stage that Knative is successful with a bunch of partners and with ourselves as well, that developers will ask for Knative compliant, Knative compatible, built on Knative platforms. But at the end of the day, it's infrastructure.
Gotcha. So if developers aren't the key audience for this, but more developers who are partners, who are those partners and what are they building that they would use this for?
There's a lot of cloud providers out there, right? It's not just a Google world, of course. There's a ton of companies that are out there. And so many of them have their own serverless platforms that they're creating. And some of them are very specialized and vertical. Some of them are sort of broad. And what we hear from customers time and time again is they want the ability to adopt these. And then they want to be able to have portability. Often it's frankly FUD. Right? I mean, how often do people really need portability? I don't know.
It's an insurance policy.
It's an insurance policy. That's right. And we've all learned from things that have happened in, you know, the past 20 years in tech that it's really important to know that you're not trapped. So we've heard that loud and clear. Not to mention there are some real use cases. You know, the real use cases that come up a lot are there's always China. There's always the situations where you're in truly disconnected environments. You know, so retail is a great example. Oil rigs come up a surprising amount. Maybe that's just us. Turns out a ton of computing running on oil rigs. And so a lot of the companies that make software for there don't want to have to tell their developers, okay, so normally write your software this way, but if the software is going to run on the oil rig, run it this way, right? They just want to be able to say, no, just write your software one way and we'll run it anywhere. So that general need, write your software one way and you can run it anywhere, is exactly why we created Knative. And we've been working with a number of partners to ensure that there's products created on top of that. So Google has a product created on top of that called the Google Kubernetes Engine Serverless Add-on. There's other partners, you know, for example, SAP announced at GCP Next their new product built on Knative called Kima. It's a super cool product. If you haven't seen it, what it does is it, you know, everyone's familiar with SAP's products, and they realize that you want to build and extend SAP's products, right? If you have an ERP, let's be blunt, no one's rewriting ERPs to be on a serverless platform today. But what you are doing is extending and customizing and adding and integrating, and all of that work that people are doing, they want to be able to do in a serverless model. And so that's exactly what Kima is designed to do. And by building it on top of Knative, it both got them a huge acceleration boost in their ability to bring that to market, as well as ensuring the portability for the developers.
Kubernetes has a number of implementations by hosted providers, but it also feels like Kubernetes itself is a reference implementation of the Kubernetes API. And the way that other cloud providers choose to implement that API in order to be conformant so far has basically been running the open source pieces. Is there a reference implementation of Knative? You've said that it's building blocks, but it doesn't feel to me like you've said this is a product. You've said these are the building blocks. I'm interested as to why there's no product.
You asked a few questions there. Let's take those apart. So yes, there is a reference implementation, and the reference implementation of Knative is on the GitHub repo, github.com/Knative.
Okay.
The distinction that I'm making about not being a product is it doesn't have a UI. It doesn't have a CLI. You know, the documentation is, it's good for a new project, but it's, you know, it's not great. And I'm trying to acknowledge the reality of where we are today.
Okay.
Right? Because there's always the evolution of how things change. And of course, we want to make this product and this project more successful. But, you know, I think it's important to note this is early. It just got out. Mm-hmm. And so where things are today versus 6 months versus a year versus 6 years is really going to evolve.
When you say it doesn't have a UI or a CLI, are you basically saying it has an API, that this is more like a plugin that you would put within your code if you're doing an include, say, for instance?
What Knative really is it's three Kubernetes custom resource definitions. The first one is build. So really common thing, you know, I'm a developer. Although we talk about Docker containers a lot, I consider them just a tool. They're an incredibly important tool, but I personally never want to have to worry about or think about them. So how do you take source code and build it and package it into a Docker container? So that is something that we're exposing as a CRD in Kubernetes. The second piece is the serving. So you're familiar with Kubernetes, you know that sometimes getting a service actually up and running, there's a lot of YAML involved, there's a lot of configuration, there's a lot of things you have to think about. This simplifies that. It simplifies it, though, in native way. Yes, I'm purposely using that word twice here, in a native way to Kubernetes, right? And that's kind of where this name comes from. The whole point is we're trying to make the particular use cases of serverless feel native. And I'm not saying Knative, I'm feeling native to serverless, to Kubernetes for developers. So we have the build, we have the serving piece, which takes your container and gets it running and serving and all those pieces. And then the third one is event binding. That's where we are today. You know, the goal, like I said, is to ensure portability. So I have no doubt that there's more work that we're going to have to do. You know, start somewhere and build from there.
Knative is now being released, and there are a number of other serverless platforms that are out there, even ones built specifically for Kubernetes. How do you think of those as different? You've talked a little bit about, it sounds like this is more of like a meta layer that sits underneath those. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Our hope, you know, and this is a big goal, and I don't want to overreach. Maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't. But our hope is that we can work with as many of those as possible, and that they'll find that they can focus on the differentiated value as a platform that they're trying to provide by adopting Knative and get velocity and speed themselves. You know, there's this turtles on turtles on turtles thing that's going on here, right?
Yep.
And we've certainly spoken already with, you know, we're partnering here with IBM, Cisco, SAP, Red Hat, Pivotal, of course, and all of them are already replatforming, be it OpenWhisk or Riff or others on top of Knative. And what I hope, and we're very open to doing, is working with other partners, be them small or large, to do the same thing across the ecosystem. Because ultimately, if we can do that, then we're, you know, taking a material big step towards enabling that portability for the end developer.
Given that goal, was there ever any question that this wouldn't be open source?
No. We knew this was going to be open source from day one. And in fact, one of the really delightful things about this project is we started in the GitHub repo. Like, there was never code elsewhere. We day one started in the GitHub repo. You can look at the commit histories in there. We've been doing the development process from day one in GitHub. So this isn't a case where we were doing internal Google processes and then had to switch over. We, you know, for example, Google, of course, has our own internal bug processing and bug tracking systems. We actually didn't use those. We didn't use internal documentation. We were using GitHub. And, you know, as a new person to Google myself, I have to admit that I'm still pretty partial to the external tools, so I'm not complaining.
So far, most people's experience of serverless has been through functions as a service, and generally those provided by a particular vendor, and the differences between them have been quite vast. Hopefully there'll be some unification, especially in some of the pieces we've talked about here. But are the tools in Knative useful for people who want to run traditional workloads and who care more about the infrastructure, like the idea of the build pieces that are in this? If I'm not running in a function environment, will the Knative pieces still be useful to me?
Oh, absolutely. So personally, I have a goal to help people understand that serverless is not simply small snippets of code running in the cloud. My goal is to have great serverless platforms available for our customers that can run any code, functions, an app, a container. The means by which you package up that code, I don't care. If it's a small piece of code, if it's a giant piece of code, if it's a binary piece of code, all of these you should still be able to run in a serverless environment. Because serverless ultimately for most customers means the programming model, it means what you have to reason about, it means the maintenance, it means the management. And then, you know, if you're talking about in a hosted environment, which of course is not Knative, but if you're talking about in a hosted environment, it also means, of course, the billing model. So from all those perspectives, we want to let people run anything. And we're really aggressively trying to expand the scope of what can run. And so to that point, when you look at the pieces in Knative, they are absolutely focused on that serverless experience, but they're also much, much broader. And there is absolutely, I would strongly encourage anyone who's like, yeah, but I have a general need for this source build experience. Great. Rip that out of Knative. Use it. That's why it's in the open source. That build CRD is in there. Same for each of those components.
You mentioned portability before, and I think as a...
Once or twice, yeah.
maybe a couple times. And when I, as a developer, think about those kind of... Docker sits a lot in that category of it, but this is a different set of tools. But you mentioned that it runs Docker. What is it that this is providing of the portability that Docker doesn't provide?
When we talk about portability, there's a lot of different layers, of course, right? So as you mentioned, Docker is a great mechanism of packaging up software. And so that gives you portability of ensuring that your dependencies are there. But what you still have left are two major parts. One is, what about the portability of the control tools you use? So if you write a tool to deploy something, if you write a tool to manage your systems of things, if you're writing anything, you know, because the reality is no one uses anything off the shelf, right? Everyone's writing some scripts, some tooling. Mm-hmm. Is that portable? Because sometimes more of your investment can go into that than can actually go into the code you're writing. Then there's the actual code execution paths. So build is not part of that, but the execution path, like what does a function signature look like, right? How does your code get called? Is this going to be, so once it gets packaged into a container, now it's portable, but that build step helps define and ensure that there's an alignment, like this is what a function looks like. Same time, events, right? So you have to bind and listen to an event. That winds up being almost indistinguishable. Like, what does it mean to run your code if you don't know how to bind to events? Because your code will never get executed, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to ensure that it's not just the pure, does this line of code run with the right environment, but does it get called into? Do the hooks in the ecosystem that are around it exist properly? And that's really what we're trying to solve here.
There are a lot of distributed tracing pieces and things that we have and published papers on and sort of move the industry forward and that kind of thing. But is Knative from day one able to integrate with things like Stackdriver tracing? Or like, is the Google serverless version and so on? Is there a...
Right. So from day one, right now where Knative stands is it's really heavily focused on taking advantage of the incredible advances that are happening in open source around a lot of the debuggability and visibility and observability. So it bundles in and is built on top of Istio. It uses OpenCensus. And what's great about that is that those become the building blocks for this entire ecosystem that happens. So Google announced at Next this whole service view in Stackdriver. You get that for free when you use Knative on GCP because it's built into the same hooks.
Right.
So it's not that we set out to say, how do we write a Stackdriver integration? How do we write an X integration? We said, what are the definitive APIs that are becoming the observability means today. And those are the things we built on top of.
And so by building on top of Istio, effectively, you get all that for free.
That's correct. Yeah, there's Istio and OpenCensus, and those are the two big ones.
Is there a reason that you decided to make this a separate project versus making this, because it runs only on top of Kubernetes, just making it part of Kubernetes?
Kubernetes is a very important piece. And what I see from the Kubernetes maintainers is they're constantly trying to keep it focused on what it does well and encouraging the ecosystem around it. And this kind of seems to have fallen very squarely in that ecosystem around it. At the end of the day, there's always this tension I think we have when we're building products of, we're trying to solve end user problems. They don't care about the 20,000 pieces that it takes to build them, so we should bundle it. On the other hand, the more you bundle, the harder it is to work together, the slower things can happen. So I think in general, I've been very impressed with what I've seen in the Kubernetes community and CNCF and the leadership there. Kubernetes is not trying to expand its scope as I see it. They're very clearly focused on what they're trying to do. And
they're almost actively trying to shrink the scope.
Yeah, that's right. Helm, I think, is a good example of that recently. And so I think this is just a natural place to be adjacent.
One of the early user comments I saw, and maybe in the Hacker News thread, was installing Knative means that your code gets run with something like 4 sidecar containers. And that feels like an odd thing to complain about. That's like saying, well, my C application needs to bundle the standard library in order to work or something. But is this something you would say to people as looking at the end user approach to this as to why that's not a thing you shouldn't worry about?
So engineers love to think about extremes, right? And it is absolutely true that if you had a 1,000,000 QPS service, you probably don't want to put it on Knative today. And the optimization path of having 4 sidecars that everything has to go through is probably excessive. But that's not the reality, right? The reality of what people actually do is they're putting anything from almost no load to moderate load services. And the overhead that's involved in these sidecars is nothing compared to the benefit you get from observability, from frankly just speed of development. So on top of which, last I checked, computers keep getting faster. We optimize our code. We figure out better paths. You know, we do things like, for example, there's this open source GVisor project, which makes it much cheaper and faster to execute code. So I think overall, again, like you have to look at it in point in time. Yes, today there's always going to be warts and challenges and things. I think that we still have something that's super meaningful for customers and users today, and it's only going to get better.
You've laid out kind of the different partner pieces and what this does. Your vision for the future, if we look out, you know, looking out a year, what does this become? What do you want it to be in its ideal state?
Personally, I want to be a little pointy here. Obviously, I love Knative and it's in my team and we've had a huge group of people working on it. It is infrastructure. I don't care. Like, what I care about is making developers successful, right? And this is a means by which we do that. What we need to do as a entire ecosystem, ensure that our users are able to run the workloads they need in the way they're looking to do that. And ultimately, I happen to believe that's in managed services. I think we need to give customers and users the choice of where they run those things. And if we do that correctly, they will choose to run as much as possible with us. But it's only through that open choice that that happens. So my vision is actually not about Knative. My vision is we give incredible developer experiences. With one simple command, you can have your stuff running anywhere, on-prem, someone else's cloud, our cloud. And you're making the choices of how and where to run these things simply based on what you think works best for you. Knative is an absolutely required infrastructure piece to making that happen, but I ultimately want it to disappear from the developers. I want it to be the oxygen we breathe, and I don't talk about the fact that, you know, what mix of nitrogen and oxygen is in the air. It just is the reality and the necessary conditions for us to live, and I want Knative to be the same.
How long do you think it might take to get there?
Years. Years and years. I have no false assumptions here, and this is a, there's a separate interesting question, right? Of what's the role of serverless and what's the overall scope of how this is playing out and what's the timelines? There's some really incredible visions that I've seen many people put out there of what this could be and how people, you know, we can truly go to that beautiful service-oriented architecture that we've literally been talking about for 30 years with reusable components and marketplaces of pieces. And I think all of that's true. I think we actually are potentially positioned to make that happen.
As long as we can still connect our Z series to it. Z series.
What's a Z series?
IBM mainframes.
Oh, the mainframes. Yeah, exactly. So there is this huge vision, and it could happen lightning fast, right? Sometimes what seems like it could take forever could happen lightning fast. And I'm open to that, and I'm trying to push that to happen. And it could take a decade. And I'm also being realistic enough to say, if it happens to take that long, we're going to push forward. That's fine. So be it.
As a developer who's starting work on a project today, should I be looking for a platform that's powered by Knative? Or there are still people who care very much about it. It's a very developer trait to care about their tooling.
Absolutely. Shall we have the Vim versus Emacs conversation now or later?
Whenever you like.
Yeah, of course. We care very deeply about tooling. All the developers do. And it's really early days. You know, I think if you're really bleeding edge, by all means, you can be in this situation where you're asking for and looking for Knative and diving in yourself. Obviously, Google has products, other people do too. But let's be honest, it is early. And I think if you're listening, if you're thinking about, look, I have a workload I want to run, go to the best place you have to run it, right? Go to a cloud provider. Of course, I'd love it to be me, but go to any cloud provider and pick the hosted product. It's going to be the best place. Separately, if you're in there and you're like, no, I have existing Kubernetes cluster. I'm trying to, you know, especially I'm an operator. I have an existing Kubernetes cluster. I'm trying to provide this service to my users, which is a model we hear all the time. Yes, this is exactly the right piece for you. Take a look at it, embrace it, use it, because you can start to get down that path of giving your users a better experience.
What comes next for Knative?
We're really excited to work with a lot more providers, a lot more companies that are out there. It's a very open ecosystem. And now that we've been able to make it open source, that we've been able to release it, it's something that we can much more easily collaborate on. And that was, in fact, our goal. You know, if you look at the code today, it's early. And we could have had the choice of waiting a year, making it perfect and polished, and then releasing it. But the flip side of that, of course, is it's private and it's not something that we can collaborate. Now it's early. That means we can collect feedback. We can work with customers. We can work with partners. And we can do that in the open, quickly, and user-focused. So what comes next? It's finding out those needs, working with the partners, hopefully getting a dozen more in there and really growing this ecosystem.
So if some of those customers or partners are listening to this and they want to know how they can get more involved in it, where should they go to get more involved in the Knative project?
Of course, there's the GitHub repo, right, which is github.com/Knative, Knative. The second place I'd say is there are some things like there's a Slack board, discussion groups. And so I'd encourage you to go to cloud.google.com/Knative, which has links to those resources.
Aaron, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great to have you.
You can find links to Knative and Aaron in our show notes. It's our pleasure to bring the show to you every week. Thank you to everyone who has rated our show or tweeted about it. Please send your thoughts on Knative and our show in general to us on Twitter at KubernetesPod or drop us an email at kubernetespodcast@google.com.
You can find the links to our show and past episodes at kubernetespodcast.com. Until next time, take care.
See you next week.